This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've discovered your link to GoPowerCat.com's PowerCat podcast. Now, here's your host, GoPowerCat.com publisher, Tim Fitzgerald.
Welcome to the PowerCat Questions Podcast. You ask them, we answer them. You got to be a VIP at GoPowerCat.com to get to ask the question at Wabash Station. And we are glad to be back with another round of questions as we wrap up basketball here in the first segment. And then we will take a variety of questions in the second segment. We are sponsored by The Fridge. Make sure you support The Fridge whenever you're in town. Gills and I and Cole Carmody, who's not with us today. Eventually, Cole will be on this podcast. Well, anyhow, I'm Fitz, and that's Zach Carlson, and that's Ryan Gilbert. Gills and I went to Tanner's, one of our segment sponsors, on Saturday night for some basketball. I really wanted to watch the Big 12 title game, and then I hardly watched it. Like, I kept glancing up at it, and I'm like, how is there 5 minutes left in the game? I was being very social, talking to a lot of people. It's good to be out. I'm telling you guys, it's good to be out in public again now that I'm fully vaccinated. We can also go to the High-Low if we have an opportunity, if anyone can get my ass off my favorite stool in Tanner's. But they both get their alcohol from the fridge, so should you. This is the Questions Podcast. We're going to do another podcast. We did another podcast this week. I'm getting out of order. Okay, folks, we're taping this one first and releasing the other one first. So it's just kind of confusing for my little man brain. We went through the bracket earlier this week. We've had an insiders podcast earlier this week. And now it's time for your questions. Zach's got the first half. Is he on his game or did he expect me to keep rambling for another 5 minutes? You ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Here we go.
From Dr. J54, the basketball season was a bust. Nothing will change that, but can we at least take a second to remember some good and funny moments? What would you add to this list? McGirl hitting 3 three-pointers in 71 seconds. Eziegu's S-bomb press conference. Patrakis outscoring Cunningham. That will never get old. And the warm glow of companionship felt when it was realized that we all despise Doug Sermons.
Oh, my God. Doug Sermons the worst. I wonder if he was one of the officials that is out of the NCAA. I only saw 3 of the 6 names.
Nah, his name would have been in the list if he was included.
I don't know. I'm not sure if he's that quite national.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. Yeah. If you missed out, John Higgins is not working the NCAA tournament. Neither is, Valentine.
Yeah.
Because he's famous in the Big Ten ACC because they hate him. 6 guys went out to dinner when their hotel rooms weren't ready in Indianapolis. One of them tested positive for COVID. They all were exposed. Man, they all are out for the NCAA tournament. Although that seems harsh to me. It seems like if you go home and quarantine, you have no symptoms after a week, you should be able to come back and work the second weekend.
And Higgins has already had COVID, right?
Exactly. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I don't want to get political, but some of this stuff is theater. Like, I'm watching the Selection Sunday. Now, folks, you got to understand this. If you're in the bubble of the team, you're tested 3 times a week. You're tested and tested and tested. And here some of these teams are sitting there 6 feet apart with their chairs and all wearing masks. I'm like, you just probably walked off a basketball court where you were all running into each other without masks. I mean, I don't understand. And John Higgins has already had COVID, so he's not going to have it again this quickly. If he could get it, it's just crazy. But yeah, he's out. Doug Sermon sucks. Let's get back to the question.
Did you see what happened to the St. Bonaventure camera guy? He was trying to film him in the security guard, put him in a chokehold. And the player's like, what is happening?
You see, because he's part of the team bubble.
Yeah.
So he came out on the court to film their celebration of winning the title, and one of the security guys put him in a chokehold and carried him off the court. But he was part of the team. He's part of their bubble. Yeah, this whole thing is it's nuts. And I appreciate people trying to be careful, but what coaches shouldn't have to wear a mask on the sideline, for God's sakes. The refs are tested, they're tested. So they yell with their mask off and then put their mask on. Well, if you had COVID, you just shot it across the court by yelling. That's craziness. Anyhow, Doug Sermon sucks. I think that's where we're going with this, right?
Right. That's where we're going.
Oh, man. He's just the worst. And you know what? I'm kind of over Higgins bashing. I think he's been pretty good lately. But Doug Sermon just does it every time. He makes it about him. I can't wait to see. We should come up with a Doug Sermon's drinking game. If we all go to Tanner's and he's working a game, we're going to be playing the 3-point game. If I go out again, still in ICU.
If you're allowed.
Well, the problem is the wife's out of town this weekend. I've got a free pass to go out, but I'm a dog dad. These dogs are pretty attached to me. Huh. Okay, I'm attached to them. That's the problem. I don't want them to be alone.
You're not attached to me and Cole?
Oh, screw you guys.
Okay.
Here's the 3-point game. This is a really fun game for you folks to play. I'm off the rails already. Okay, so you're watching with your buddies, and there's a game going on that you want to watch, but you know you're not a fan of these two teams, so you're not going to watch intently. Here's how you pay attention. Let's say there's four of you. You each put a dollar into a ball cap, and then you shake up the ball cap and you take it out and everyone takes a dollar out, and whoever's got the lowest number has the hat first. Dollars go back in. So you start watching the game. Someone takes a 3-point shot. If they miss it, the person with the hat puts a dollar in it and passes it to their left. Miss it, dollar in, pass to your left. Makes it, that person who now has the hat takes all the money out. Everyone puts a dollar in. And you pass it back on around. This is an epic beer drinking gambling game.
Because it's all chance.
It's pure chance. But make sure if you're doing this in public, everyone has a charity identified. Make sure you're playing for a charity so that you're not arrested for gambling in a bar.
Yeah.
But no, it's a lot of fun. We'll be doing that. And Doug Sermon sucks.
Yes, I agree. Oh, but back to the question, though.
Izziagu was the best.
Yes, that's the best one.
That was my favorite moment of the season. He's just dropping shit bombs left and right. I'm not even going to bleep that out because it's essential to this topic. Oh, it was great. I like that kid.
I love how Tom didn't say, hey, this is being recorded in front of a live audience here.
Yeah, I wonder what Tom Gilbert was thinking. I have to ask him. What were you thinking during that Izziagu press conference?
Put his hands up. No, just shaking his head. No, probably couldn't believe it.
We didn't have him again, did we?
I don't think we ever got him again. I think that is the last time we heard from him. Yeah, then again, that might have been the last good game he had. So
true. I have to say this, folks. I really like this group of players. This new group. I mean, everyone we've had on press conferences, they've been great. Maybe if we met them in person, dealt with them one-on-one, we'd find out Nigel Pack's a jerk. Can you imagine him being a jerk? No, I can't even imagine. What a good kid. Bradford's nice. Izziagu's awesome. I mean, Selton Miguel, I'd kind of like him on my side if there was a fight breaking out. Seems like a guy that'd get after it. This was a very likable bunch for the most part.
Next question is from El Camino Cat. Over under 2.5 scholarship players with eligibility remaining that leave the basketball program between now and the start of the fall semester. The count is currently at 1 with Antonio Gordon.
I am hammering that over.
Yeah, me too. And folks, I'm going to blow your mind because I'm really critical of Bruce for all the transfers he has out of this program. And I said this on a daily delivery. For me, it's not the number, it's who. I mean, it's really, it's a who for me. and I don't like doing this, but if it's Carlton Lingard who decides to leave because of his back issues and Montavious Murphy who decides to shut it down with his knee injuries, or they want to go to a lesser school, and that's three and that's the over, folks, I'm okay with that. And then the second part of that is, who do you get to replace them? If you go get three guys in the transfer portal that upgrade your roster, I'm not going to be critical of that. I mean, no, that's actually what they need to do. They kind of sifted through all of these pieces now, and we'll see who all comes back and who they can replace them with. It's two phases to this, but I mean, I suspect there's another one that's going to go here pretty soon. We're going to hear about, but I it could be four guys. I mean, we were critical of them, Gills, for getting back into the high school ranks. They could still sign two high school guys and get two guys out of the portal. So it's very intriguing to me where they're at. I kind of wish they would just, you know, focus on the portal, to be real honest. They need some experience. They got to be better next year, period. I'm not putting up with this again. I gave them a year, folks. I was pretty damn patient. If you've been following along with me and my opinions on this basketball program, I was pretty patient this year. I gave them the year. I wasn't always happy, but I understood the process. Next year, you better be better. And I don't want to hear about you being young.
Yeah, back to the question. I think 2.5 is an easy over.
Easy over. I would have gone.
But
3.5 is a better.
Yeah, I think 3.5 is a better. Or 2.5 if you start now. Yeah. 2.5 more. That's a little more interesting.
And I'm not going to say what it was, but we are highly confident Antonio didn't leave on his own. Something happened. So nothing major, but, you know, there's just rules you got to follow. And if you break those rules, and I actually think this is good. Not that I don't like Tony. I thought he was coming into his own. He was finding his game. But it was something that occurred with previous players that was tolerated and should never have been. Put it that way.
Moving on.
Next thing you know, you're gone.
Moving on to Rasslin, 1982. Do you expect more than one potential transfer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. There's no way. I mean, there's just no way. The one guy that didn't play much that I hope stays is Ceree Lewis. There's just something there about that dude. And I don't even think it'll be next season. I think it'll be another season down the road. But I think there's something about his game. And I got to say this, that I didn't – usually when Bruce Weber gets into late signings, I mean, it's not good. He signs guys that have no business being not in the Big 12, Division I. And these guys all had some game. I like Carlton Lingard. If he was healthy and they didn't have two really good big men, I'd want him to stay. But I can see why he would leave. He's just not going to see time. He's not really a four at this level, and he's not a five. He's really a tweener, and he's not healthy. Maybe he stays, but if he could stay and fill that Antonio Gordon role, I mean, he shoots it. He knows how to shoot it. Would you blame Rudy Williams for leaving? I mean, he's got a freshman point guard in front of him. And then Mike McGrill returns. You're trapped behind him, too. I mean, these guys want to play. So, yeah, there'll be more.
The question was about incoming transfers, though, right?
No.
No.
Okay. Well, we just addressed it being 2.5. Then why is there about one?
I probably should have reordered those questions a little better.
But I'll say this. If you want to take it that way, Gills, they better have more than one transfer.
Yeah,
they better
make an impact.
When Bruce talked about the transfer portal, he kind of sounded like, we'll take one. No, dude, you gotta upgrade your roster. If you lose three guys, you better go get a couple transfers. I mean, I know it's not easy, but, man, you can't go sign high school freshmen again and say we're young. This is done. It's time to win.
Next question is from Anderson Blumont. Do you think the players are more likely to transfer if Weber stays or if he goes?
Unknown. That's impossible for us to know in this circumstance. We might have a better feel for it without COVID and we're around him. But Again, I'm going to just point this out. The players typically have really liked Bruce Weber. This isn't a situation where the players come in and say, I hate the coach. That's not what happens at K-State. What happens is he signs guys that really can't play at this level, or honestly, they have issues. They have some discipline issues, and they have to cut them loose. It's not about we don't like Bruce. Is a very likable guy, and bluntly put, because he's not too hard on him. I don't want to say that he doesn't yell at him, because he does. If you get to go to practice, he gets on his players. He coaches hard. But it amazes me Doug Sermons wants to tee up Bruce, who probably said, golly, that's a bad call. I mean, he's not an outrageous personality. Some players didn't like Frank Martin. I can guarantee you some players don't like Brad Underwood. He'll crawl up your intestines and let you know who's the boss. So this isn't the case at Kansas State. These guys like Bruce. Bruce is a really likable guy. If you're around Bruce, you know, I mean, he might have some sideline demeanor that drives me nuts. And, you know, the constant chirping from the sideline drives me nuts. But that doesn't mean he's a bad dude. Players like him.
Next question is from El Camino Cat. What is your opinion of the Big 12 all-freshman and all-newcomer teams not having a single K-State player?
Nigel Pack's got to be on the freshman team, for sure.
You know, I looked at that freshman team, and I'm like, well, I kind of see why they left him off, but you still need to find a place for him. Mm-hmm. It was a good year for freshmen in the conference. It really was. I think what hurt him is his COVID period was right in the middle of the Big 12. Yep. So some coaches really didn't get a good dose of him. I mean, he missed three games, right? Because they were supposed to play Iowa State in that period, and they got off the hook with that. And then he was really ineffective against Baylor. So I see why he didn't get the votes to do it, to be on it. But, yeah, man, that sucked.
I think it's just a symptom of the league being this deep this year.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's easy for us to say, yeah, Nigel Pack is a good freshman. He's a good player. But looking at the rest of the league, yeah, I can see why he would have gotten left off, especially like you mentioned with the COVID phase. So,
Cade Cunningham was named the National Player of the Year. Is that right? Did I see that before we started taping this?
Let's confirm.
Alexa.
She heard her name.
I mean, I think I didn't watch much of TCU this year, but I'd take Pack over Mike Miles, for example, who is on the first team, the freshman team. So I get it. You know, Greg Brown's, there's a lot of good freshmen in this league, but I'd take Pack over a few of those guys on there.
I'm sorry. He was his first team. First team All-American. Mm. Come on, man. I mean, Cade was good, and he was really good in that Oklahoma game, and had some games. He also took games off.
Yep.
I'm not blown away by him. I'm not saying he won't be a very good NBA player. I'm just saying I saw Durant, Beasley, and Griffin in the Big 12 at the same time, and this kid doesn't hold a cup of water to those three dudes.
There's players that aren't in the league right now or have been in the league that don't hold water, or that Cade Cunningham doesn't hold water to.
He's a very, very good player, and he might be better at the next level. But I'm watching games with him. It's like people are afraid to say bad stuff about him. And you'll see Fran Fraschilla, who is one of the best in the business, say, you know, he's got to work on his passing a little bit and his ball handling. And sometimes he's going to take some bad shots. I'm like, then why is he so good? You just said three major skill deficits he has in his game. He's very good. And he deserves to be first team all Big 12. But if he's the number one draft pick, there's some, I'm telling you, 10 years down the road, there'll be teams going, man, you passed up on this guy and that guy to take Cade Cunningham. Maybe I'm wrong. There is one of the Ball brothers that's pretty good, and I wouldn't have seen that coming. I don't know. The NBA is a totally different game. It just is.
To go back to the first question, that's my favorite moment from the year when Joey P outscored Cade, just because I get so annoyed with all the hype and ESPN stuff with Cade. So
he just took that game off.
Yeah.
Sultan Miguel did, guarded him,
yeah,
and he didn't want anything to do with it, and it wasn't a big enough game for him. I'm telling you, if if you're a guy that takes games off, you're going to struggle in the NBA because 95% of the games are going through the motions. The guys who really thrive in the league are twofold. Ones that never take games off and just kind of wear themselves out, and you know, and the other guys, the Hardens and the Westbrooks, that for some reason have the green light to take 1,000 shots, even if you can't make them. That's a good job. I'd be good at that job.
From Wrestling 1982, can the basketball team hire a motivational coach that specializes in three-point shooting?
Kind of like someone specializes in offense. I mean, obviously these coaches can coach defense. What K-State was doing by the end of the year was remarkable. That you got all these new guys. You're down to two players with Big 12 experience by season's end. And one of them is Dejuan Gordon, who honestly didn't really get it after one season. I mean, Mike McGrow was really the only tangible player out there at the end of the year, and they're defending their butts off. Can someone explain offense to this team? That the ball's supposed to go into the hole, not just like near it. Is that too much?
I feel like you didn't give Rasslin's question enough credit for being a good joke.
I know.
It was a very good joke.
I know. I'm sorry. Pound the ball. That sounded horrible.
I don't know. But speaking of three-pointers, when will college just say, you know what, you're going to shoot NBA threes? Because when you see the court without the women's line, you know, for like the Big 12 tournament, it's so far out than what it was, you know, 10 mm-hmm. years ago. At what point are you just going to say, you know what, let's just back it up even more? Because it's getting ridiculous, I think. It's insane how long this three-pointer is without being an NBA three-pointer.
I agree. Are they international lines now? Is that what they're at?
I want to say it's even beyond that. I want to say the previous one was what the international line was.
Well, I mean, it's not just a K-State thing. Teams take too many threes. It's cool to take a three. It's cooler to make a three. Yeah.
Last question from Wrestling 1982. Are we now going to wait until we see guys hit multiple threes in multiple games before we call them a sharpshooter?
Man, wrestling, you're on point today.
Perhaps.
That's not where I've gone wrong here. Where I went wrong is the kind of crap that gets back, blows up on me, is listening to the hype from some of these coaches. I mean, sometimes I hear things from the coaches, and then I see the player, and I'm like, Javon Thomas is all Big 12? What?
McCall Mayween was supposed to be a jump shooter his senior year.
What? I don't know. Yeah. Only K-State can sign a sharpshooter that can't sharpshoot. But as Gills has pointed out, they did kind of amend that definition of Luke Kasupke, that he was more of a – it kind of came in as the – did we just make an assumption about the white guy? And you know what I mean? Oh, the sound of white guy, he's got to be the sharpshooter. I don't know. God, please become better shooters, all of you. They need a shooting coach. They need a guru to come in and, you know, back to his original question. Just, it doesn't have to be a motivational guy. It could just be someone that says, this is the fundamentals of shooting. My name is, you don't even have to know what it is, but Steph Curry. This is how you shoot. For God's sakes.
Sign up for his masterclass.
Exactly. Yeah. Steph Curry, masterclass of shooting. That is my great business idea. The masterclass, sports masterclasses. Bob Stoops teaches defense. Bill Snyder teaches offense.
Go get the website on GoDaddy.
No, masterclass already exists.
Masterclass shooting.
Masterclass.com. Sports. I don't know. I think there's a
whole
genre
there. They already
have
sports, though.
Do they really? I don't think they do.
Steph Curry. That's a real thing.
He does?
Yes. That was a real example.
Not as smart as I thought I was.
I don't know. I mean, those are pretty cool master classes. Not a barbecue. The Franklin. I think it's Franklin.
Yep. They're in Franklin.
That's it for the first half of the podcast. We're asking way to bring your A game. That was nice. We'll be back on the other half. More of your questions from Wabash Station as we turn our attention away from basketball.
Yay.
The Power Cat Podcast will be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
We now send it back to the Power Cat Podcast.
Welcome back to the Power Cat Questions Podcast. We handled basketball in the first half. We're going to turn our attention to a variety of topics. I'm told we may not be free of basketball. It's very confusing around here. This, folks, don't try this at home. Well, actually, you should. If you want a podcast, try it at home. Tim Fitzgerald, Ryan Gilbert, Zach Carlson here at the Go Power Cat Home Studio and Dog Spa. I have a dog snoring right next to me. Hope it ends up on the podcast. Hope you can hear a 15-year-old Scottish Terrier. We've got more questions from Wabash Station, but we are sponsored by The Fridge. Our segment sponsors are Tanner's and The Hi-Lo. Make sure you support all of your local businesses, and when you're in Manhattan, support those businesses. I like supporting them. I have invested heavily in the vodka market. It's not like oranges. I mean, this isn't like Trading Spaces. It's like, that's an old movie reference right there. It's a Trading Spaces, Trading Places. Trading Spaces was a designing show. We're not trying to corner the orange market. I'm going to get back to infusing vodka. Gills, you won't want any because it's real liquor. It's adult drinks. What's the heaviest thing you like to drink, Gills? Busch Light. Only if it's fresh from the brewery.
It's pretty good.
They had some Tito's on sale, some handles. We bought four handles of Tito's. That's a lot of vodka, Zach. It's a lot of vodka. A bunch of blackberries and blueberries. Get into the fridge. I'll be infusing this weekend. Let's get on with the podcast, man. Who's got it? Gills?
Got it. First question of the second half from Rastlin, 1982. It seems to me that KU is poised to be buried if we can just start rolling again, and basketball appears to be in a major state of uncertainty. If those things are true, is this one of the most important off seasons of recent memory?
Well, he brought his A game this week.
He did.
Yeah, he didn't stop there.
Man. This is a very intriguing thing. I got a buddy who's he spends a lot of time gossiping with coaches. Former player gossips with coaches. It really sounds like KU is going to attempt to invest heavily in football. Like they might try to make. Now, this is the same look I gave Gills. It was like, what? That would be a strong indication to me that they are fearful basketball is about to get destroyed. That what happens with the NCAA is going to set back their basketball program a number of years. If they're going to put a bunch of money into football with a coaching staff, they probably think we better be good in one or the other because the next round of realignment's coming, and if basketball goes to hell, they could get left out. He's right. This is a huge period for the University of Kansas. That entire institution leans on basketball. It's crazy, but it does. That's their whole cultural identity, is that basketball program. And when you're that good in basketball, you can just slough off football. It doesn't matter. We're the Jayhawks. Yeah. Chris Kleiman needs to get it really rolling here and make sure they have plenty of distance between them and anything that might happen at KU. They go pay $5 million for a coach and coordinators at $1 million and start trying to think they're the SEC. That'd be a huge gamble. That's a huge financial gamble. Basketball's just got to get better for K-State. It's not even about KU and basketball. This is just intolerable. It's just got to get better.
But I think another thing with you talking about KU maybe investing heavily into football, worried about what the NCAA can do to KU. What about another angle where what if the NBA comes to Kansas City? We've talked about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money that goes into KU basketball because there isn't an NBA team to absorb the rest of that money. So, I don't think it's unreasonable in the next 10 years that the NBA says, hey, it's time for another round of expansion. And hey, guess what? Kansas City, you have an arena that's been sitting around for a while, but it's NBA ready. So what do you say? I think investing into football for KU unfortunately for K-State, maybe not. I don't think that KU's ever going to retake and reclaim and overtake K-State, but you know, I think that it's a good play for KU. I think that you're going to have to make football your breadwinner sport.
Bruce Weber accidentally hit on this topic with one of his press conferences from Kansas City when he made the reference to the homeless guy talking about KU basketball reloads and you rebuild. Well, first of all, I don't think that was a homeless guy. I mean, obviously, they watched games on TV, so...
Not even that. Have ESPN Plus.
I know. So, there's some awareness there. But this was my thought, though. If it's just some guy in Kansas City who's not a alumnus of either institution, but that's his knowledge, that kind of stuff ends with a Kansas City NBA team. Those people will be completely invested in that, and they should be. Kansas Jayhawks basketball is the NBA team to Kansas City. It just is. And that's how it's treated. It's how it's treated in the media market. And that's really the big thing. As soon as they get an NBA team, this fawning over KU basketball ends. They'll still cover them if they're good. They'd cover K-State or Missouri if they're that good. But an average, a below average, a bad NBA team will still get most of the coverage in that market. It's just the way it'll be. Yeah, it's a critical time. And again, to all of our billionaire listeners, I know there's like 17 of them, the billionaires that are out there listening that have K-State ties.
It's impressive.
I know. It's how big time we are. Please put an NBA team in Kansas City. Just for that reason. Please.
From El Camino Cat, what are reasonable baselines for success next season in football and men's basketball given the current state of the programs?
You know, football's weird because you play an uneven number of games. But my ongoing thing is...
In conference.
Yeah. You should be at least average. Now, I know there's going to be some seasons where you don't get there, but you know, you can't win 4.5 games. So, I mean, football went 4-5 in the conference last year. So, I mean, they went 5-4 the year before, right?
I think so.
So, yeah, that's, you know, that's a baseline for me. Basketball for me, you should be, you know, okay, you can be 8-10 some years, but you better be 10-8 in other years and 14-4. This permitting 3-4-5 win seasons, I'm not into it one bit. That's not a rebuild. A rebuild's 8-10. You have to expect more. Yeah, the other thing that struck me about Bruce's comment was he kind of accepted that you rebuild. You shouldn't have, this shouldn't happen. It doesn't happen in Lubbock, Texas. I don't understand. It doesn't happen other places. I mean, I understand you bottom out once in a while. I understand that happens, but not twice every 9 years. Yeah, but just play 500 basketball in your community. You know, whatever league you're in,
Yeah.
There's two teams in the NCAA tournament from the state of Kansas. And that doesn't make me happy that Wichita State went through a rebuild and still found their way into the first four. It's frustrating.
I think for next year, 7-11 is probably going to be the absolute bottom line for Bruce, I think, if he gets to 7-11.
That's the number that puts Gene in the biggest quandary.
Yeah.
That's I think typically what Bruce does.
Yeah. I think 6-12 is pretty easy to say, yeah, you weren't successful. And I think 8-10 says, yeah, you can potentially make the NCAA tournament at 8-10 in the Big 12, especially if you go to the conference tournament and you're able to make it to Friday. So, you know, I think that's probably what my number would be for basketball. And then for football, just make a bowl game, 6-6. I know that you'd like to see 5-4 in the conference, you know, or, you know, can't be able to handle your bowl eligibility in the conference. But yeah, at least for next year, coming off of this last year, just get back to a bowl game and then we can worry about the rest later.
Basketball, I define more by conference because you can manipulate that non-conference schedule so much. Yeah. I mean, it's totally different if you're playing Duke and Gonzaga, you know, in your non-conference as opposed to bunch of teams that you should beat. Well, never mind. Now, football is a little more even. You're expected to play one Power 5 opponent, another group of six opponent, and probably a FCS program. So that's what they got. They've got a really good schedule for next year. So we'll see. But yeah, 6-6 in football overall. And I want 9-9 in basketball. I'm sorry. We just let you win 7 games in 2 complete seasons of Big 12 play. Can we get 9 next year? 9? Can you be average, please? Please?
Yeah, I'm with you, boss. I mean, if they play the way they played the last 6 games of the season, there's no way that's not an NCAA tournament team, really. So,
look, they've won 2 Big 12 titles. I know that's an accomplishment. Now, I would argue that maybe the team that won 2 years ago, as good as it was, would have finished third or fourth this season in the conference. But that is always offset by the fact that both of those teams that won the title lost in the first round of the tournament. I want good things. I don't think it's too much to ask for good things. I'm with you, El Camino.
From Hit the Bed Fred, welcome to the podcast. We appreciate your question. Please ask us many more. You got to be as good as Rastlin, though, moving forward, though. That's your standard. There is some promising chatter surrounding Keenan Garber and Malik Knowles from spring camp. Will either of them explode onto the scene, or will we see a similar production level to the 2019 season from the receiving corps?
Oh, they'll be better. They'll be better. I think they understand as a staff they have to have their receivers more involved. Keenan Garber is very promising. They've mentioned now a couple young guys that are promising. Who was the other one he asked about? Malik?
Yeah.
Malik's just got to get back to being Malik. No, we had him on a press conference on Tuesday, Zach, and he talked about the distractions in the season. there was a lot of stuff going on inside this team this year, last year. I mean, there just was. And we saw a lot of players depart. There were some disruptive forces within the program. And I think they've got that cleaned out. They got Malik back on course. Yeah, he was talking about transferring. I mean, we didn't make that up, folks. I know you want to believe that evil Go Power Cat made that up, but I mean, why would we? Just stop and ask you that. Why, if we weren't confident that he was, why would we put it out there? But, you know, he admitted he got himself back together by the end of the season and focused on football. There was just so many moving parts to the team last year with COVID and you know, other things. People had decided that K-State was a horribly racist place because there was one student who was a jackwad. Is that a word?
Yeah, that's a word.
Okay.
Jackwagon.
Good enough.
Jackwagon, jackwad, jack, no. Yeah, I think they're going to be fine. Now, do I think they need to be better at receiver? Yeah. I still don't like the parts. They don't have enough. I still wouldn't mind seeing maybe someone move out there. And I think they're going to get creative. We heard Courtney Messingham talk about that on Tuesday, about splitting running backs wide more often. So they'll get creative with it, but they got to be better in the passing game and more diversified. When you're running back and you're tight end and you're top two receivers, you've got an issue at receiver, period. And hopefully they can get it back on course now that Courtney Messingham is in charge of them.
It's hard for me to be confident in the wide receivers knowing how much they've lost since Chris Klieman has come. It's not just last year. You look back to the year before where Dalton Schoen is your number one receiver. That really should never have happened. And it goes back to, you know, some of the recruiting under Bill Snyder and just there weren't the pieces there. And with this new staff coming in, I still feel like these wide receiver pieces just haven't worked out yet. And, you know, with more departures and, you know, players like Sebastian Taylor, who should have probably emerged by now, just hasn't and just kind of is just around, you know, it's worrying to me, I guess, seeing the state of the wide receivers going into the season. It's going to take a lot in the fall to prove to me that, hey, everything's going to be all right, because I think that is the biggest question mark on the team, and it will be up until game one.
From KNED, is Indiana hoops the college basketball equivalent of Nebraska football?
Absolutely.
It's a very intriguing big red question.
Yes.
Indiana is getting very distant with its basketball. I mean, you know what I mean?
They're a football school now.
Mm-hmm. That's a problem for them, actually. This is a huge hire. And I don't think hiring John Boeheim is your answer.
Is that what they did?
That's what one of the names out there. I'm just intrigued by this. I don't know. They've got to get it figured out. But once you lose your momentum in your program, you're just starting over. Nebraska's football is starting over. I mean, they're still selling the tradition, and that don't win you much. I mean, if you can't win with Scott Frost, they're a couple more bad seasons away from not selling out their stadium in a state where that is literally it. When it comes to sports, that's it. That's their whole life.
That sellout streak is in danger.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Indiana basketball. The thing about it is it's gotten so distant now. It's time to Bob Knight, who a lot of younger people remember for Tech more than Indiana, or being an ESPN bad play-by-or color guy. Mm-hmm. It's craziness. They've made some bad hires. They just have. But boy, I wish I could be in the buyout life.
It's crazy. It's crazy you mentioned that about Bob Knight, because that's literally how I remember Bob Knight. Texas Tech. ESPN commentator.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember him at Indiana. I mean, I don't remember when the chair was thrown. I don't think that was even in my lifetime. I mean, he left Indiana when I was 8, maybe. And then he was in the Big 12. So, yeah, that's all I remember him as. Texas Tech wearing the sweater. Was it a sweater vest?
It was a sweater.
It was a sweater. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Indiana's got a better basketball tradition than K-State, certainly. But K-State's had more relevant, good seasons than Indiana lately. I haven't really looked that one up. I could be out on a limb on that one. But K-State's won a couple Big 12 titles. Don't see Indiana hanging any banners anytime recently.
Nope.
But kind of like UCLA, college basketball would be better with them. It just would be better. I think everyone out in the Pac-12 is kind of screwed by the reality of what ESPN does now. You just aren't on TV enough, period.
Or you're on TV too late.
Yeah, for old guys like me now that go to bed at 10. I could barely make it through Big Monday's Big 12 game. God, it's just sad.
You couldn't make it through the Big 12 championship game.
Oh, it's sad.
I think Gonzaga gets more regular ESPN time than the Pac-12.
Right.
That's crazy.
Pac-12's biggest issue is they have Bill Walton.
They love him out there.
Ugh.
So bad.
Zach?
But that shows
is he worse than Lance Blanks?
I have come to find out that there's a segment that loves Lance Blanks.
What?
Like, there was someone said, who's your favorite color analyst? And there were a number of people saying Lance Blanks.
Unironically, they were
probably
saying,
all Texas fans, because he's their guy on the Longhorn Network. Lance Blanks. Bill Walton's awful. It shows the disrespect that ESPN has for the Pac-12 as a basketball conference, that they use this novelty act. He's the bearded lady of color commentators. I don't think he can grow a beard. Yeah, he can. Yeah, I don't know.
Get Out More Cat wants to know, what's the wackiest coaching carousel rumor mill story you've ever heard? Is it from this year?
The coaching carousel rumor mill. Someone floated that KU's going after Brent Venables.
Right now?
Uh-huh. And they were dead serious. And I laughed. So the guy's never going to be a head coach.
No.
I don't know why. I mean, I used to know why he had a hang up with K-State, but that turned out to be bogus. And I don't know why, but it's just incredible what people can come up with. But I don't know. The one I floated on the message boards is pretty good. That's pretty out there. Man, coaches. Rumor mill is just something special. But it also, if you're in on that, they're right too. I mean, it's not all wacky stuff. They kind of know what's going on.
John Curry's plane ride of adventure is probably a good one. Just flying the plane around trying to find him a coach.
Doesn't want to land. He's going to get fired. So bad. The John Weefald one when he hired Ron Prince was pretty good. You know, they did the interview and it went well, and they were coming home to interview more candidates, and he announced that he made up his mind and gets to make his Martin Luther King speech. So he hired Ron Prince, made his Martin Luther King speech, and it was the most uncomfortable press conference I've ever been in my life. But I want to just tell the guy, hey, we hired you because of the color of your skin. I mean, it was just so uncomfortable. It's like, dude, did you, you know? I mean, what is going on here? This is weird. It never ceases to amaze me. I think we're in for some real enjoyment with KU over the next couple of years. I think this is going to be fun. Jim Harbaugh was a lock for KU. I hope you know that. I mean, come on, man. No way.
Last question of the podcast from Dr. J54. Has the Life of Fitz podcast ended in dust and ashes, or can we hope for a resurrection?
Ashes? The hell? No, it's going to come back. It'll come back in a little bit different form because I'm not locked in my house anymore. That was the whole premise of it, was I was just calling friends while I was in quarantine forever. And we ended it with the start of sports season. Now sports season's over. It'll come back, and I think I will expand it out to be, you know, people that I don't really know as well. But, yeah, I enjoy that one. Let me get through my stuff here, man. Let me kind of wind down basketball. Got to start the questions or the overtime podcast back up.
We want to do that for next week.
Hell yes, because Insiders is pretty much done. We'll revisit it at some point to talk baseball with Matt and Cole and stuff. But yeah, we're done with the Insiders. That got to be depressing. Hard numbers for the Insider podcast. So drop so much this year talking about basketball. Oh, you're going to talk about basketball? I don't want to listen. Could you talk about dentistry? We could have had your dad on to talk about dentistry, and it would have gone better than talking about basketball. We'll bring back Life of Fitz. I don't have a timetable for it, but I enjoy it, and we will come back with it. I don't know. Just me talking to people. What a brilliant concept. We should start like a true crime one, Gills. But here's the twist. So there's a lot of true crime ones out there, right? You know, good. We commit the crimes.
Okay.
Like you and I, we can just head off to Charlotte, do a bunch of bank robberies, come back. Have you heard about the bank robberies in Charlotte? I shouldn't probably be talking about this. We should probably not talk about this podcast. Never mind. That's it for this week's edition of the Powercat Questions Podcast. Thanks for asking questions. Who was our newbie? We had a newbie.
Hit the bed, Fred.
Welcome to the podcast. We post that sucker, that thread, every week, and you get to ask your questions and hit the bed. We also will have the overtime podcast next week with a separate thread. What is the overtime? It's everything that you shouldn't ask us.
Basically.
I don't like it when we actually take sports questions in the overtime. Unless it's something, you know, like non-K-State related.
Right. If it's a question, if it's not K-State related, we'll answer it.
And then I go through and drop in sound effects. A lot of Simpsons. A lot of Peter Griffin in there. A lot of West Side Story. It's just a sad mix-up of weird things from my life and my brain. And a lot of old references. That's what happens when an old guy does the sound effects.
Powercat Podcast. All rights reserved. Go powercat.com and Spirit Street Publishing.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.